face. Meanwhile, Helen Reddy sang of good old Ruby Redress, talking to herself, something my 11-year-old self could relate to. After camping for the night, at sunrise we packed up for the long day ahead. At the Husky station, Dad filled up with gas and topped up the cooler with frozen ice. Mom and us kids went into the store to stock up on sundries, snacks, soda pop, and of course, Rothman's cigarettes for Mom and Dad. As Dad merged onto Highway 1 with Judd Strunk singing A Daisy a Day, Mom sang along. Waving her hands to keep with the beat of the music, my mom turned to sing to us kids as we ripped open our bags of Old Dutch potato chips.
He remembers the first time he met her. He remembers the first thing she said. He remembers the first time he held her and the night that she came to his bed. He remembers her sweet way of singing, honey, has something gone wrong? He remembers the fun and the teasing, and the reason he wrote her this song. I'll give you a daisy a day, dear. I'll give you a daisy a day. I'll love you until the rivers run still.
The day wore on as we tired from the heat, driving for long stretches with the prairie sun beating down. The inside of the car became a sauna so that the vinyl seats stuck to our bare skin and the cigarette smoke filled the confined space of the station wagon. Nearing the Alberta border en route for Edmonton, the car's engine began to overheat. Nothing a needle and thread couldn't fix, I'm sure. Before too long, however, we exited the freeway to small town BC. Revelstoke, population 700. Having driven for 2 days, pulling into every two-bit town every few hundred miles or so to fill up for gas and to stop for a bathroom break and a bite to eat, we were stranded as Dad waited for an engine part to arrive so his car could be repaired. With dusk setting in, we pitched our tent and camped for the night.
As I'm being followed by a moon shadow, leaping and hopping on a moon shadow, and if I ever lose my hands, lose my plow, lose my land, oh, if I
listening as the pace slowed down and the crickets came together in harmony, I knew Dad's home was near. Although he didn't say it, I knew Dad prided himself in bringing his family back to the land where he was raised, back to the farm he once toiled, back to the people he called family. The smell of the cows filled the air, as did the arrival of much-anticipated kinfolk. When we arrived at the farm, my dad's younger brother came out of the house and my cousins came running from the fields, inviting us to join them in exploring the farm. I looked up into the night sky, alit with stars, and realized that this must be the big open sky I'd heard so much about. I wondered why they had more sky than we did in the city. With crickets singing in the background and the adults drinking prairie-brewed ale and homemade cider on the back deck, we kids traipsed around the farmyard. We popped cherries into our mouths, one after the other, spitting out the pits to see who could spit the furthest. As the night got long, my dad's sister-in-law pulled pulled out her guitar to sing what I would come to recognize as one of the many songs in her repertoire.
The old hometown looks the same as I step down from the train. There to meet me is my mama and papa. Down the lane I look, and there runs Mary, hair of gold and lips like cherry. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. The old house.
Spending time on the prairies was strange for me. My narrow city thinking left me naive to the world and the realities of the country, although I would later become aware that my ignorance left me arrogant. As we drove across the prairies, I wondered about the prairie folks we were going to see. They lived in towns that played movies that we'd seen in the city the year before. This seemed backward to me. I thought of their small-town street signs and sensibilities. I thought of them living in farmhouses that had no flush toilets, on acreage that was littered with cattle, livestock, chickens, pigs, and tattered and broken-down barns from the days when my father was a boy on the prairies. While my thinking would change, my immediate thoughts were crass. I wouldn't say I looked down on these country folk, but in my young mind, I thought they hadn't caught up with the city cousins. They seemed two steps behind us, like their clothes were different, and they seemed less fancy compared to those of us from the city. I thought they were out of date with the times. This thinking would change, though. After 2 weeks on the farm, I found myself looking at the country folk differently. I liked them. My city cousin, who I'd grown up with, continued to make fun of them, though, and soon I realized that she spoke of them in derogatory terms, not unlike how she'd always treated me. As our time on the farm drew to a close, I could see that they had more than us. They had the country as their home. They also had the city for when they wanted it, and always had the country to go back to. Unlike us, they had space to move around in, and they had the music, my aunt's guitar, and they had the crickets singing in the background. Camping on the farm changed me. There was much to take away from my family's road trip to the Canadian prairies that summer. Camping on the land, eating peanut butter sandwiches in my cousin's broken-down milk truck at dusk, watching my brother and cousin chase arthritic pigs around the farmyard, drinking baby duck at the family reunion hall, and seeing my Uncle Ray and recalling something strange and creepy, something I couldn't place. Eating macaroni salad, marshmallow salad, jello salad, Rice Krispie squares, matrimonial cake, Nanaimo bars, and tomato soup cake. I love that tomato soup cake. Sitting around the fire each night, eating burgers, hot dogs, and watching my dad chew on pig's feet. Ugh. As my family made our way home, back the way we came, across the prairie flatlands, through Albertan wheat fields, soaking up the rays of radium hot springs, driving along the cityscapes into the sound of buzzing lights, I knew that home was near. The smell of manure had dissipated. John Denver was nowhere in sight, but his music lingered on.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River.
Life is crawling into bed that night, reflective of my country cousins, and knowing that we weren't so different, the twang of Neil Young danced along the horizon, with its shadows dancing on my bedroom wall. City and country aside, I was grateful to have met my cousins. Maybe we city dwellers were more up to date in regards to movies and fashion. But if truth be told, we were the ones who were backwards. We were the ones who were behind the times. Too often, city folks were too busy and too distracted to connect with ourselves, our family, and our ancestral roots. Not to mention, too busy to make marshmallow salad. After all, it takes prairie folks to make a really good marshmallow salad. I should know. My mother was a prairie girl.
I got a hot rod Ford and a $2 bill, and I know a spot right over the hill. There's soda pop and the dancing's free, so if you want to have fun, come along with me. Say, hey, good looking, what you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. During the 80s and the 90s, CJSF would come into its own as a serious platform for independent artists and a forum for people to express ideas not present in the mainstream media. Summer 2002. CJSF receives a license from the Canadian Radio Telecommunications Commission to broadcast over the FM airwaves. February 13th, 2003, 7 p.m. CJSF goes on air at 90.1 FM, and we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since.
People get ready, there's a train to come in. You just head on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. People get ready for the train. For the hopeless sinner who would hurt all mankind just to save his own. Believe me now. Against the kingdom strong,
people get ready. There's a train a coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket. You just
bass band The Sojourners with their rendition of People Get Ready off their 2008 CD The Sojourners. Coming up next, I've got third rendition for this evening of Summertime. This version was recorded in 1958 as a single. Did you guess? by Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong. Let's go to that now. Great song. This is even older than Ella and Louis' tune. This song is from 1949. It was released on the soundtrack Take Me Out to the Ball Game. This song was recorded by Frank Sinatra and Gene Kelly. It's none other than Take Me Out to the Ball Game. I had mentioned in a previous show, probably about a month ago, if you're a fan of the Vancouver Canadiens, unfortunately, due to COVID, there are no summer games being held in Vancouver. This year, they're being held down south in the States. Too bad, eh? Anyways, let's go to that song now. Frank and Gene with Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Please, fellas, we need you.
Nelly Kelly, the baseball game, knew the players, knew all their names. You could see her there every day, shout hooray when they play.
Her boyfriend by the name of Joe said,
to Coney Isle, dear, we'll go.
Then Nellie started to fret and pout,
and to him I heard her shout,
hey, take me out to the ball game, take me out with the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack, I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame, 'cause it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
That was their rendition of Leonard Cohen's iconic tune, Hallelujah. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Arts Edge. You've been listening to Music and Summertime. Stay tuned to Wave Station coming up next. And as always, I leave you with one final tune. It is the fourth and final rendition of Summertime in tonight's show. This song is from Barley Wick, an all-women's band originally from Saskatchewan who now reside in Victoria, BC. Off their 2007 CD, Beyond the Down, here we go with an incredible version of Summertime. Good night, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend, and I will see you next week with more stories at The Arts Edge.
Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and the cotton is high. Your daddy's rich, and your mama good looking. So hush, little baby.
Studio 6, CGSF's video series, captures high-quality video recordings of live performances.
Experiences, support for liberty, adaptability, life is a constant relative.
I watched the episode of Ming's Dynasty that you did. Hilarious.
I like it.
And you have an upcoming short film that you're acting in as well, right? Night Ride?
Yes.
And interviews with impactful and inspiring artists.
I believe that hip-hop was created and intended to be used to influence and inspire and to be very community-based and just uplifting.
As well as engaging conversations with community members about the issues that are most important to their communities.
It really is going to be the artists that are going to help wake up our people, help them understand what it is that we need to do in order to change. But first, we need to be that change. We need to do it within ourselves in order for people to see that it can be done.
Watch all of the Studio 6 live sessions on CGSF's YouTube channel or on our website at cgsf.ca/studio6.